Boom. Yo, welcome back to the Snatch Edges podcast. I'm your host, Ebony, your friendly neighborhood trichologist. And on today's episode, we are talking subscription boxes with Jameela Donaldson, the founder of the UK-based Treasure Tress Box. On this episode, we talk about how she went from a life in PR to natural hair, all the events that she does, and how she really cares for our community while also finding out about hair horror stories. So sit back, listen, and enjoy. And when you're done, make sure to sign up for your own Treasure Chest box. As always, you can find me on Instagram at instagram.com/ebonyajedwahair or on my website, ebonyajedwa.com. If you have any questions or need some more info, send me an email to info@ebonyajedwa.com. Okay, and now for the episode.
So my name is Jameela Donaldson, and I'm the founder of Treasure Tress, which is a monthly product discovery box for women and girls with naturally kinky curly hair. So each month we pride ourselves in helping women discover and delivering to them the very best products to help them care for their hair. How I got into natural hair is a bit of an interesting one. I've always been really, really passionate about hair, literally since the age of four. I had my hands in everyone's hair who I could find. At school, if there was a girl sitting in front of me, it was likely that I was playing in her hair.
Okay.
I was just always obsessed with hair, but it isn't something that I thought that I could pursue as a career. So I went down a much more academic path, and I instead got into finance. I thought I was going to go into law, but I got into finance. And I started a career in the financial industry. And then while I was there, I spent some time in New York. And while I was in New York, I discovered subscription boxes, and I
Okay.
realized that there was one for literally everything from socks to dog food to razors to sweets, literally everything.
And did you purchase
So
any of these subscription boxes? Like, was there one that was particularly your favorite?
I didn't purchase any, but I did continue to follow them online.
Okay.
And then I was like, why hasn't this become a thing in the UK? Especially boxes for natural hair, because there's quite a few in the US that don't deliver over here. So I was like, why do we always get left out? Like, why can't we have something like this of our own? So then I got back and I kind of let the idea rest for a few months, and then I decided to like really make a start on it. And yeah, I invited some friends around. I put together a little box and I was like, how much would you pay for this box? And they were like, I would pay at least £20 to get a box full of products or product tools or hair tools, sorry. To help me along my natural hair journey. And I was like, perfect, that's the price point that I was thinking of. And then I got the ball rolling from there. So designing the logo, the brand messaging, who our target customers were going to be, that kind of thing. And then 3 years later, we've just secured, well, we just moved into our own office.
Oh,
And now we're
congratulations.
thank you. And now, excuse me, now we're a team of four going on to be five really soon.
Excellent. And so for you having, because I did a little bit of background research and you were this amazing high flyer moving to, like, I think it was Beijing at like quite an early age, and making like a lot of headway in like the PR kind of world. How was it, or did you like transition straight into natural hair and kind of like leave that all behind, or do you still kind of dibble and dabble between the two?
I feel like Treasure Trust is the perfect meeting point between like my obsession with like business and like learning new things, marketing, PR, but then also beauty.
Okay.
Because yeah, it is beauty, but unfortunately, I don't get to do that much beauty stuff because I have to focus on the structure of the business and the behind the scenes stuff, which isn't as glamorous.
Okay.
I do feel like the structure of the business allows it to be the perfect hybrid between two things that I'm absolutely obsessed with. So yeah,
Amazing.
it's a really nice meeting point.
Cool. And so we met recently as I came to one of your events for Treasure
Yes.
Tress. And how often do you put on those events? So if you could just kind of like explain to people what, like, the point of the events are and like how they go, how they kind of support the box and what people can learn from by attending.
So when I developed Treasure Tress, in the beginning stages, I was like, right, this is going to be just a subscription box. What we're going to do is deliver people products every month. And then as time progressed, and we started speaking with our customers more, getting to know them a lot, they started asking us for different things. And I realized that they actually wanted to connect offline as well as online. So we decided that events and offline experiences were going to become a core part of the fabric of the business. So at least every other month, we have an offline activation for our subscriber base.
Wow. So
they come in a few different forms. So alongside Treasure Tress, or as a result of Treasure Tress, I collaborate with a natural hair blogger called Hair is Simba to put on a series of personal development workshops for teen girls called the Teen Experience. And those take place on a monthly basis across the spring and summer months. And then for Treasure Tress subscribers specifically, we have events called King Cups, where it's literally a play on words.
You say King Cups?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great play on words.
So it's literally just a chance for naturals to link up. We provide food, we provide drinks, most of the time sponsored by Malibu, which is very fun. And we just get together. We play games, we play natural hair games, and it's just a chance for everyone to get together, let their hair down, and learn from one another.
Mm-hmm.
And then in addition to those, we sometimes do brand-specific activations. So, for example, at the beginning of this year, and then we've got one more coming before the end of the year, we went on a university tour with a brand called Grow Healthy.
Okay.
So it's basically our job to go to different universities and host meetups for the students there to introduce them to the brand and, again, help them along their natural hair journey, educate them, and also share with them some really affordable products for their age group. So there's a few different types of events. And as you mentioned, the most recent event being the one that we've done with you and Paige Keiki to discuss hair loss for Black women and what the realities of having a hair transplant and the best ways to avoid or deal with alopecia or traction alopecia if you begin to see the signs.
And so how important is that part of your business to you personally, like making sure that naturals have a community? Because as you said, in the UK here, we are kind of like, I would say, even though it's been going on for a long time, we're still quite blossoming. Outside of London, yeah. I feel like it's much harder. And do you kind of cater for that market at all, or will that be something you'll be expanding into?
For me, it is after making sure that our boxes are the best and have the best products in them, it is making sure that we host really good events and that we do create a space and a community. Because I feel like it's great sending out boxes, it's great getting really nice emails, but then nothing compares to actually connecting with people in person. Being able to put faces to names, being able to build genuine relationships only enables us to do the best we possibly can to serve them in the way that they want to be served, because we may think that they want something from Treasure Tress, but unless we have the conversation with them and we meet them, we won't necessarily know. So eventing and producing really high quality boxes are like the two top priorities for me.
Okay, cool. And let's go back to the boxes now. So I received this month's box, which was I was so excited. I was just like, the packaging, everything about it just looks so amazing. Which would you say it's been your favorite box to create, and like, what was the brand that you worked with?
Oh, that is such a tough question.
No shade to anybody else's brand or box that, you know, it's just like the one that was like, to you, which one did you like really enjoy working on?
I really, really enjoyed, to be fair, I always enjoy the Maya Organics boxes, mm-hmm. because we do them once a year, at least once a year, and they always do extremely well, and everyone's really excited by them. So that's definitely the crowd favourite. The one that I particularly enjoyed was the June box, which we done with Simone here in Simba.
Okay.
Because we were able to give her some guidance on the brands that we think would perform well, and then she was able to choose the products.
Oh,
and
nice.
It was the first time that we were working with a Parisian brand called Phyto Specific. And I think it was my favourite box because they included an oil which retails at between £25 and £40. And it's like a dual purpose oil. So you can use it for your hair and your skin.
Yeah.
And it is really amazing. So that was probably my favourite box of the year, I would say.
Okay. And so when people subscribe, can you walk us through the process of like onboarding for a new client? So say I'm a natural at home, I've listened to this podcast and I'm like, okay, I need some new products in my life. What do I do?
Sure. So first things first, we would hope that you join our newsletter. So that's the first pop-up box which comes up when you go on our website asking you to join now or subscribe. That doesn't mean the subscription, that literally just means our mailing list.
Okay.
And through our mailing list, you'll receive hints and tips on how to take care of your hair, as well as some information on our previous boxes. Once receiving the emails and getting to know the brand a bit more, we would hope that you would subscribe to the box, which means literally going on the website, entering your address, paying for the subscription, and then the rest is up to us. If you subscribe before the third of the month, then you receive your box in the same month.
Yeah.
if you subscribe on like the 5th or the 6th, then you're going to receive your box the following month. However, if you do email us and say, hey, I subscribe on the 5th or the 6th and I'd like this month's box, then we can organise that for you. But as process goes, like if you subscribe before the 3rd, then you receive your box in the same month. And then every month, you do nothing else. You okay. literally rely on us to send you the products every month. So we don't tell you what's in the box. You only find out once it arrives. And we try not to share it on social media before everyone's got their boxes to avoid ruining the surprise.
Yeah.
But I always encourage people not to look at the hashtag treasure chest because the surprise will be ruined.
Okay.
But yeah, that's essentially it. It's really straightforward and actually quite passive for women. It's just like receiving a gift in the post every month. You don't know what's going to come, but we can guarantee that when it comes, you'll be happy. And as I'm sure you know, everyone doesn't love every product. But I think the beauty of having a subscription is being able to decide what you do like and what you don't like. And exactly. everyone's got friends and family that they can share the products with anyway.
Yeah, because I feel like for a natural hair girl, the perfect present is to receive a box full of like really good products as well. And so I know that when I get products from my companies and stuff, I'm just like, when my friends come over, I'm like, oh guys, do you want to try this? Do you want to try this? Because I like, not that I don't like them, it's just like, you know, I have so many. And so if I just like can help somebody else, and it helps with their brands as well. So like, oh, my friends will try a conditioner and really like it and then go on to buy. So I do think it's really a good way for like businesses as well to get involved and, you know, reach and maybe like a newer audience that they wouldn't have potentially reached. Because it's like, it's harder in the UK. Some of the shops that we go to might have like one item from a brand, but not have the ones that we see online very often.
Yes, I agree.
You were like the product junkie's like paradise.
Yes. And I am a self-confessed product junkie myself.
Are you? Okay, so let's talk about your favorite products then. So what is in your bedroom, your bathroom cabinet? What like are your go-to?
Everything that we've ever put in the box is somewhere in my house.
Yeah.
But my all-time favorites, I love really high quality deep conditioners, and I really love a good quality leave-in conditioner. But I'll start with shampoo.
Okay.
So Shea Moisture Jamaican Black Castor Oil is one of my favourite shampoos, alongside Palmer's Coconut Oil Zero Break Shampoo.
Okay, I haven't heard of that second one. Is it quite new?
It came out, I want to say at the beginning of the year.
Okay.
But it's really, really good. They've got a conditioner as well, which we featured in our July box. But I really, really love that shampoo. And then as far as deep conditioners, I love the Shea Moisture Jamaican Black Castor Oil Mask. And in the Jean box, we featured the Shea Moisture Weightless Moisture Hair Mask. There are so many. It's Coconut Water Weightless Hair Mask, I think.
Okay.
And then in addition to that, I really like the Mayel Organics. I think I'm going to murder this ingredient, but Babassu Oil. Babassu Mint Conditioner.
Yes, I do love that one too. That is a firm favourite.
It's amazing, isn't it? And then also the Cream of Nature Pure Honey Mask, which we featured in our July box.
Okay, so I like to hear that most of the products like are tried and tested by you. Like you've had some kind of input, like some personal use of the products usually before like they kind of go into the box, so you can vouch them and say, yes, you know, I've used this on my hair. It's not kind of like anything kind of gets chucked in.
Yes. Oh, wait, I didn't share my leave-ins because these are my favourites.
Oh, okay.
Mayel Organics Avocado Hair Milk, the one that was in this month's box, and Giovanni Direct Leave-In Conditioner. But
one second, is the hair milk quite thick?
No, it's actually quite thin and quite light. My hair is really fine, so I can't take really weighty leave-in conditioners. So it's perfect. My hair, I find.
Yeah, I got the hair milk from the box this month, and can I tell you that I've done like so many people's hair this weekend, and like people tried to steal it. They're like, oh my god, this smells amazing. What is this? I'm like, no, you can go away. Believe mine to me. I need some for my hair, please. But yeah, that product is amazing. It smells so gorgeous, and it's like, it's really like, I feel like it's creamy, but it absorbs so well into your hair, and it doesn't feel like greasy or anything at
all. No, I absolutely love it. When we finalised that, I was like, I cannot wait to get my own box.
Yeah.
I want the entire line. Because usually I get dribs and drabs of whatever's left once we've finished.
Yeah.
But I was like, I need a full box.
Like putting down your name first, making sure you pay yourself first. Like, this one's for me.
But we all, between us, we try the products. So everyone's got quite different hair types, different hair lengths. two of the girls have got colour. So it's really interesting for us all to try the products, because sometimes we are actually 50-50 split. Mm-hmm. I'll be like, I love this. And someone else on the team will be like, I did not like that at all.
Yeah.
But then I think that's inevitable, because as I said, everyone's not going to love everything, but you don't know until you try it.
Definitely. So, okay. And in terms of ingredients and stuff like that, I know that naturals can be quite picky for good reason on what ingredients they allow to be in products that they use on their hair. Is that something that you as a brand are quite conscious of and maybe enforce as well?
Yes, definitely. One comment that we do get quite a lot is that not all of the products are Curly Girl method friendly.
Okay.
Which is a great point. However,
if you could explain that, please, for people that don't know what you mean by Curly Girl method.
Okay. So basically, it discourages the use of shampoo for curly hair. So it's highly focused on moisture and maintaining high levels of moisture within the hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it does limit certain ingredients. I want to get the ingredients up so that it's 100% accurate.
Yeah.
Okay, so Curly Girl method avoids shampoo, heat, combs and brushes, fragrances, sulfates, non-water soluble silicones and alcohol.
Right. And does it say why they avoid shampoos? Is it like shampoos full stop? So like they only do like co-washing, or they have like another method of cleansing?
Co-washing.
Okay.
Yeah. However, when they do shampoo, they pre-poo and then condition after, which I think most naturals do anyway.
Yes.
But I think the part that's most relevant to us is no heat, because sometimes we do feature heat protectants in the box because we know that some of our naturals do like to straighten their hair or do like to blow dry their hair. Mm-hmm. Sulfates are sometimes included in the shampoos because we know how important it is to completely cleanse the hair.
Yeah.
And again, some naturals like sulfate shampoos. And so it's always, the task is always getting the balance right between the Curly Girl method and then catering to majority of naturals, because we don't want people to feel completely
left out.
But at the same time, we don't want to completely limit the products that we do put in the box because the preference of a minority, which I think the method is great. And I think if it works for you, then brilliant. But as mentioned, a lot of women don't follow the Curly Girl method and they do want to try a particular brand and particular product. So I feel like it's our duty to cater to them as well.
Yes, I do feel like a lot of brands are trying to move away from those ingredients that you mentioned and moving towards more natural kind of plant-based extracts, which kind of will not limit or exclude certain people from using them so that they're more accessible to everyone.
Definitely. Yeah, like it's not that hard to find products that fall within this category because, as you said, a lot of brands are really making the effort to do so. But then again, there are some brands that haven't, that aren't all the way there, but are still highly attractive to naturals.
Definitely.
And they still want to try them. So we still want to involve them.
Okay. And so if we talk about how you look after your hair, so we talked about the products you like. When it comes to styling, what kind of natural are you? Are you a lazy natural where it's just like your hair's an afro and a puff, or very simple because like, you know, busy or lifestyle, or do you kind of go all out and, you know, have something different every week?
Oh, I'm the most boring natural, I think.
Really?
I live in braid outs.
Okay.
Like braid outs and buns are pretty much all that I do. I do have quite a strict hair routine as far as deep conditioning and shampooing, but no, as far as styling, my hair is just always out in a braid out, or it's up in a high bun or a low bun.
Okay.
And that is pretty much as exciting as it gets for me.
And is that because of like just a busy lifestyle, like work and stuff? Is that convenience, or are you not a confident styler for your own hair?
The funny thing is I'm actually really good at styling hair, but I think it's a schedule thing.
Okay.
Natural hair takes a long time to style from scratch. So if you're going from wash to actual finished product and drying your hair, because my hair takes forever to dry, I just really don't have the time to try a new style and spend so much time drying it and it not look right, because I'll just be crushed.
I feel you. That pain of looking in the mirror when you're done and it's just like, it doesn't look like the picture.
All the time I invested.
Yeah.
So to avoid that disappointment, I just stick with my trusty braid out. It's simple, it's convenient, and it works for me.
Okay, cool. And you said you have a quite strict regime. How did you kind of build that? How did you learn what was good for your hair? And was that the result of like any kind of mishaps?
Yeah, I've definitely had mishaps. Heat and my hair is very sensitive to heat and can get heat damage really, really easily. So this weekend, it was my engagement party, and I straightened my hair. But
oh,
in order
congratulations.
To thank you. That's why when you saw me, I had a hat on and two buns because I had conditioner in my hair still.
Okay, that's fine. We know the struggle. We know how it goes.
But I literally prepped my hair for about 2 days before I straightened it to avoid any kind of damage.
Yeah.
And as soon as I straightened it, it started reverting, which I was so happy about because that meant that it was definitely still healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So my main mishap has been heat damage.
Okay.
I think quite a few times along my journey. My styling routine is pretty strict and completely, I take full control of it because I have had quite a few bad salon experiences that I'm just not willing to run the risk of having again. So I do everything pretty much myself. So like Friday's my shampoo and deep conditioner day. I'm not sure if this is good or not. I'm probably breaking all of your rules.
Don't worry, no judgment.
I sleep with my deep conditioner in.
Okay.
And then I wash it out on Saturday morning. Then I style my hair and then I probably wear like a head wrap or a hat while I'm waiting for my hair to dry. If I'm going out Saturday night, then I might sit under the dryer for a few minutes to allow it to finish drying. And then, take it out and then leave it in a braid out until perhaps Wednesday, Thursday. And then by that time it gets a bit too frizzy. So I put it into a bun. And
then it's ready to wash again. That sounds perfect. So even with like the deep conditioner overnight, my problem isn't with that. It's I don't know if you've heard like the bagging method.
Oh yes.
Yeah, where people like constantly leave their hair in like a moist state, and I'm like, when it's covered all the time, I'm like, okay, you're just asking for things to start to fester and grow.
That's what I was gonna say. Doesn't it encourage bacteria?
Yeah. So if you deep condition overnight, like I completely understand because, you know, you have a busy day, you like wrap your hair in like a shower cap or something and go about your business, cool. You do it overnight, you get tired. But sometimes I will like deep condition at nighttime just because I know I'm not going to wash it that day, but let me do it. So that's completely fine. But people are like, oh, my hair's always in that constant like product wet, moist environment. I'm just like, guys, just wash your hair, just wash it out, it's fine. After it's penetrated, there's not much more that's going to go in. It's not going to like, you know, in your hair.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay, so you mentioned that you've had some mishaps at the salon. Could you tell us one of the more horrific stories, if you please? You don't have to mention any names. Sure. Dates.
No, I won't mention any names. But I went to a salon and they asked me what I wanted and I said a blowout. My hair is really, really fine.
Okay.
And by blow drying it, it can get as straight as it would with a straightener if you're using the right technique and you've got the right tools. And because I was in a salon, I was like, oh, these are the perfect people to do it. Like I've seen people do it on YouTube, so surely they can do it in a salon.
Yeah.
Asked them to do that. She was like, okay, fine. I went there with my hair in a high bun and it was very dirty because it was wash day. But I thought, why would I wash it before I go to a salon? So she took my bun out and then she split my hair in half with her hands and then got a fine tooth comb and started working from the root to tip.
My heart is already beating really, really fast.
And I was like, okay, this is really hurting. Like, can we wash it and then detangle it?
Yeah, did you say this to her?
I did. Okay. Of course she didn't like that. So I thought, oh, this is going to be the last thing that I say because I still want hair on my head by the end of the day.
Yeah.
And so she shampooed it. And when she was shampooing it, like I always shampoo my hair in sections. Everything for me happens in sections when I'm doing my hair.
Mm-hmm.
So when she started to shampoo it, she was like massaging my scalp, which was great. But then at the same time, I'm just thinking my hair is getting really tangled.
Tangled, yeah.
And I thought, who's going to detangle this? Because I know that I can detangle it because I've got patience. But in a hair salon, I don't think that they have that kind of time or patience. So she's shampooing my hair, applying quite a bit of shampoo, which I didn't think was completely necessary. And then she put in a conditioner, left it in for 3 minutes and then washed it out. And I thought, oh no, this is going to be dreadful. Because
she didn't even run a comb for it at the back wash or anything.
No, and there was no heat applied when the conditioner was in my hair. So I thought, oh, this just isn't going to go well because
I'm just like cringing so hard. I'm like, I feel like I'm like in the fetal position, like rocking back and forth. Oh my God, this is horrible.
So she applied the conditioner, rinsed it out, and I just thought, oh, no. And then when I looked at my hair, I was like, I've never seen my hair look like this in my life. It just looked bad already, and I was like, I don't know what's going to happen from here on. And then she started combing it again with not the finest tooth comb, but a fine tooth comb. And then she put me under the dryer, but she kind of just put my hair into kind of like a bouffant type thing and put me under the dryer.
Okay.
Did not at all understand what the purpose of this was. And then she took me out and then started blow drying in sections. And then she told me that my ends were really damaged. And I was like, oh, I trim my hair regularly, so perhaps this is a result of all of this treatment. And then she straightened it and it wasn't even straight at the end of all of this. I was like, you've applied so much heat to my hair for no reason and now it's not even straight. And I just thought, oh, never again am I coming to the hairdressers, because it's just too much. It's, yeah, it just makes me too anxious. And I just think, for them to give me heat damage after I've spent so long trying to take care of my hair, maintaining it, it just seemed like all of my efforts went down the drain. So I decided that I'm not going to do that anymore.
One question, was the salon a natural hair salon?
Mm-hmm.
They were?
Yeah. I'm not confident that this hairdresser in particular was a natural hair stylist.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a natural hair salon.
I see. This is the kind of thing that makes me really sad when I hear these kind of stories, because it's like, black salons have such a bad rep for the things that they do to hair, especially for naturals. And it's just like, there are some amazing hairdressers out there, but it's like, you just... Oh, I can't even speak, because it's, you just hear some like horrible things. I'm like, this, firstly, this doesn't even make sense. It's not even like they tried the style and maybe like it wasn't to your liking or anything. It's like she went there with the mission to like, I'm going to destroy this girl's hair.
That's what it felt like. And anytime I like interjected or had a, said a comment, it was just faced with I was faced with so much opposition. I just thought, you know what, let me just get through this. I trimmed my hair about 4 times after that to get rid of the damage.
And you spoke up. That's the thing, that you spoke up. You said your concerns, but then at the end of it, I'm sure you, like, did you pay for the service and let them know that you weren't happy, or how did it end?
Thankfully, I didn't pay.
Okay, good. Because sometimes I've heard that people kind of like will sit there, kind of like cringe, smile, and then be like, okay, thank you, bye, and be like, what have you done to me? I'm never going to.
Yeah. It's really easy to tell people to speak up, but when you're actually in the situation, it's very hard to actually speak up, because one, everyone can hear whatever you're saying, and you don't want to come across as the very fussy client, but at the same time, you have every right to, because it's your hair. And you also don't want to insult the intelligence of the stylist.
But I feel like there's a way to do it as well, because when people get into my chair, I always say to them, like, you know, if it's too tight, if there's something that you like, if there's a way that, because you know your hair more than I do. I know about hair, but personally, it's on your head. You're with it every day. And so you know that, you know, oh, my hair doesn't like this type of product or this type of oil. And so you can kind of use your information to guide me. And so I can't sit there and be like, or stand there behind you and be like, well, I'm the professional. I've been doing this for years, and get on my high horse.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And like, people shouldn't feel insulted. Like, even if you go to like a chef, or like to a restaurant, you might say, oh, I don't like black pepper. Could you please like exclude it from my meal? It doesn't take away any of the years of training that the chef has had. They may have their opinion that, you know, black pepper makes the dish, whatever, but at the end of the day, it's your taste.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And if you're parting with your money, you have to, or I don't know how, maybe like a shyness or not wanting to be rude, but it doesn't have to come across that way. It just has to be like, listen, if I'm going to give you my money that I worked several hours for, I need to come out of here feeling like a human being.
Yes, definitely. In retrospect, I wish that I had spoken up a lot more, but I was completely over it. Like, I was prepared to big chop after I left that salon, because I thought my hair is going to be in a very, very bad state.
Yeah.
It wasn't as bad as I thought, but I definitely did have to keep trimming it to get the damage out.
I can just imagine you sitting there looking in the mirror, looking at this woman destroying your hair, being like, okay, she's just done this. All right, so when I get home, I'm going to have to buy deep conditioner. I'm going to have to do a steam tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I can't go out tonight.
Yes, precisely. It's not good at all.
Oh, dear. Okay, well, let's try and end it on more of a positive note then. I think that's like a harsh reality that so many naturals, maybe not even naturals, like black women face in the UK.
And so, yes.
Hopefully the tide will change as people get more educated about their hair, especially with like companies like yourself helping people learn what is good and what's maybe not so good that we should be doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, what is next for Treasure Tress? So I know you guys have just done an event this weekend. You said you do them quite often. After I've got the box and stuff, I come to your events. What kind of things have you got in the pipeline? If you can kind of give us a little sneak peek at where the business may be growing to.
Sure. So at the minute, we're growing quite a bit internally to allow us to, one, carry out our duties for the community on a much greater scale. Mm-hmm. So there's a team that's increasingly growing to ensure that when we do events, we cater to the subscribers, to our community, to bring them what they want to see. We're also continuing to branch out internationally. So over the summer, we had a New York branch, and there's constant demand for us to visit places in Europe to deliver the same kind of, I want to say service, but same kind of type of event. So yeah, an opportunity for naturals to meet up, to get educated and to learn more, and then have access to really good products too. In addition to that, in December, we're hosting our third annual Mummy and Me afternoon tea party. This is something that I first started in 2015, mm-hmm. and it was a chance for mums and daughters between the ages of 2 to 9 years to come and learn about natural hair. I brought my niece along because I wanted her to be in a room filled with women and girls that look like her.
Yeah.
Who have similar hair to her, so that she understands that it's a norm. So it's a great opportunity for parents to learn about natural hair, network with other parents, and for kids to do the same. And it's a great way for brands to get involved in these very authentic conversations too. So at the minute, we're preparing for that, and we'll be releasing tickets within the next month or so.
Amazing.
And in addition to that, we're working on more digital content. Okay. So you can look forward to a lot more video and written posts from Treasure Tress, aimed at educating our subscribers a lot more.
That is brilliant. Jameela, thank you so much for agreeing to interview with me today. I know it's like the crack of dawn, but it's been like so informative to talk to you, and even just finding more about your brand and like how you are so dedicated to helping naturals, because just from speaking to you, I can hear like your passion and how it is something that's really close to your heart. And I know that you won't do anything to like compromise us or steer us.
No.
I know that people can trust you. If you are interested, I will have all the links below for everybody to get a box. And as you said, it was like you have to sign up by the 3rd to get it. Yeah. Okay, so you've got probably about like 10-13 days to sign up to get next month's box, which I'm sure is going to be super amazing too. Do you want to drop any of your socials or anything just before we exit the talk for today?
Sure. So the main platform that I'm on is Instagram, and my Instagram is Jameela is obsessed. And I don't tweet very often, but sometimes I do. So my Twitter is Jameela obsessed.
Excellent. I will also include a link for the teen experience as well. So if we have any younger listeners or people who've got younger siblings or anything like that, they can enjoy those events too.